Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
But I want to go back to chapter number 1, and I want to look at some things here in chapter number 1 tonight. Last Wednesday night, we dealt with the first 9 or 10 verses here of chapter number 1, and we dealt with the simple subject of it's time to move on, and how Moses died, and after Moses died, God had Joshua in place to pick up and go right on with the ministry. And I won't say it the right way. I think it's biblical, and I think it's great if you can do that. If God allows a pastor to mentor somebody to come in behind them and continue the work that they've put their life into. And that's really what happens with Joshua and Moses. Moses trains Joshua and teaches him, and then when Moses goes off the scene, Joshua steps right in place. And I thought about this just a few weeks ago, just right up the road. Brother Bill Sperling's pastored Mount Vernon for 497 years, something other like that, hadn't it, Brother Ramsey? He's been there for years and years and years, and he mentored his grandson, TJ, and because of Brother Sperling's health, he's no longer the pastor, and TJ came right in behind him and continued to work there. That's what happens right here with Moses and Joshua. Moses goes off the scene. Joshua steps on the scene. And you know what? Joshua's fixing to take the people to a place that they've never been. And I say this, I believe it's God's will. If God leads one away and God puts the right one in, God will always put the right one in if the people will follow God. Can I just say it that way? And if they do that, then that new leader can actually take that church or that group to a place they've never been. And that's what Joshua does. Joshua leads them into Canaan's land. And in chapter number 1, he's preparing them for that. God tells Joshua to go over this Jordan. And then Joshua picks up in verse number 10 of chapter 1. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye vigils, for within 3 days we shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." And I like what he says right there. He said, God's already given to you. It's up to you to possess it. Now, I'm not preaching a name it and claim it gospel tonight. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this, that God has promised us a victorious Christian life. We don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to live in despair. We don't have to live a life of anxiety. God's promised us a peace that passeth all understandings. It's up to us to claim that and do according to His word and possess that. Amen. And he tells them to do that. He goes on and he says, go down to verse 13. Let's just skip to it. He says this, spake Joshua saying, verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Verse 15 says, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as ye hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possessions and enjoy it which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that we'd get understanding from your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us recall the things that we've studied. We'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said just a minute ago, we really dealt with up through verse number 9 last week on this thought of it's time to move on. Joshua here in verse number 1 through 9, there is the commission that God gave him. But when we come to verses number 10 through 18, there's a command that Joshua gives the people. Joshua takes what God says, and then he delivers what God says to the people. Can I say this to you tonight? That's really a practical application for the preacher and the church today. The preacher should take what God says and deliver it to the people, not the opinions of others, not what he thinks about something, but a divine, thus saith the Lord, from the word of God. And Joshua gives this challenge to them and commands them. Think about this. It is a challenge to readiness in verse number 10 and 11. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your vigils, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." So he challenges them, get yourselves ready. Ready yourself for what is coming. And I thought about this. Boy, we need to be ready for what the Lord has for us. And a lot of times we miss out on great opportunities because we're not ready. I thought about this yesterday or Monday and Tuesday. My dad and brother Daryl Cox was preaching a meeting together. Man, I wish it had been anywhere close. I'd have loved to went to that and heard both of them both nights. But it was close to Washington, D.C., way up in Washington. And yesterday afternoon, me and Mom and Rebecca was texting back and forth. And Mom sent a picture of Daddy and Brother Cox. And they was in front of the motel. And it looked like they had three or four, Brother Matt, gathered around them. I could just tell they was about to preach to them right there. You could see both of them handing out a tract to them as they was talking to them. You know what? They was ready for what God had for them. They was ready. Joshua tells them, hey, you need to be ready. He challenges them with a readiness as they go in to possess the land. But watch this. He also challenges them with a remembrance. He says in verse number 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. He said, you need to remember what the Lord said to you. You need to remember what God's done for you. No doubt, whenever they heard, remember what Moses has said, no doubt in their mind, they had to go back to God leading them across the Red Sea and the deliverance that God gave them. I mean, I just want to say this to you. People battling with the nation of Israel has been going on ever since that moment right there. They've been against Israel and trying to destroy Israel. But you're not going to destroy Israel. It's God's chosen people. Amen. But think about this. He challenges them with a remembrance. And you say, well, preacher, why do you say that to us tonight? What will help you to be ready for what God has for you is to remember what God's done for you. Remember where you used to be. Remember the life that God saved you from. Remember what God's done for you. Remember the times you saw God work when you had to step back and say, there's nothing else you can say about it, but it was God. And just a few weeks ago, my wife and I sat down on a Saturday night, late on a Saturday night, and she cried more than I did, just because usually women cry more than men. But we sat there and we just cried a little bit. Y'all can laugh a little bit. It'd be all right. But we sat there and cried and talked about the Lord and some things that God had done. And it was only him. It had to be him that done it. And I don't know why we're surprised sometimes and we act, wow, I can't believe God done it. Well, that's what we asked him to do, wasn't it? Amen. But we need to remember what we've saw God do down through the years. And it will help us to be ready for what God has before us. Brother Mark and I was talking the night before service, and we were sitting over there in my office, and I'd cleaned all the books off the shelf and got a bunch of stuff out of it. And he said, "Have you been in here ever since you come?" And I said, "No." I said, "Actually, before we built the Sunday school wing, several years prior to that, I was in here. Then I had to leave from in here because we had to make it a Sunday school class, and we made that closet my office." And I said, "My office was in a closet." And then when we built the Sunday school wing, I came back in here, and that's when we done all the wood in it and everything. And he said, "So it's the second time you've moved out of here." And I said, "Yeah, and I ain't never moving back in it again." But anyway, I said, "Yeah." And I said, "But you know, Brother Mark, what a blessing. What a blessing." I said, "There's so many today that, as I said just a minute ago, man, they're closing doors instead of trying a way to figure out where to put more classes at. And God blessing the church. We need to remember, man, what the Lord has done for us." Amen. So it was a challenge of readiness. It was a challenge of remembrance. But watch this. It's a challenge of responsibility. In verse 14 and 15, he says this, "Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising." So he says this, he challenges them with readiness, with remembrance, but also with responsibility. He said, "Here's what you need to do." And I want to say this, and I'm not going to bog down here. I'm going to move on. And I want to say this to you tonight. Man, we need to be responsible in what God's given us. I thought about this. "To whom much is given, much is required," is what the Word of God says. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That verse absolutely scares me to death. And you say, "Why, preacher?" Here's the reason why. Look around what God's given us. And as the pastor, there's going to be a lot required of me when I stand before the Lord. And I'll say this to you. We just didn't sporadically go to moving things. Man, we pray about every decision that we make. Why? Because I believe that there's a responsibility to the Lord for that. And we ought to be cautious in it's amen goes right there. We ought to be cautious in that. So we see this. There's the commission of Joshua, and then there's the command of Joshua, or the challenge to the people of Joshua. But then closing chapter number 1 is really where I want to get to tonight. In verses number 16 through verse number 18, there's the commitment from the people. There is the commitment from the people. You know, that's a word that you don't hear much about today. The commitment of them. You know, the reason a lot of people won't sign up to work in VBS, because of commitment. It's a commitment. You know, the reason a lot of people won't sign up to do this or to do that, it's a commitment. We're living in a society today that don't want to commit to anything. And there is the commitment from the people in verse 16, 17, and 18. If the people is going to enter Canaan's land, if the people in our, let me preach it in our day, if the people is going to enjoy a victorious Christian lifestyle, there is some commitment that comes along with that. There's commitment that comes along with that. And you know this, as far as Sunday school teachers. Now, of course, we can't hire and fire, if you want to look at it that way. But the reason some don't want to teach, it's because they know we ask the teachers to be committed to church on Sunday morning, not just for Sunday school and not just for preaching, but Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival time. It is a commitment. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. If you're ever going to live a true, victorious Christian life, there has to, now you're a hollering man because it's Wednesday night and you're sitting here. There has to be commitment towards the Lord. There has to be commitment towards the Lord. Let me show you two or three things. Number one, this commitment from the people was a commitment to a life of surrender. A commitment to a life of surrender. Look with me in verse 16. The Bible said this, and they answered Joshua. And Brother Rodney, I'm getting a little bit of feedback for some reason. They answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we shall do. And it's good now. Thank you, man. They answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou send us, we will go. You know what they said? Here's what they said. We're going to have a life of surrender. Whatever you, and I'm not saying that you have to do everything that I say. Now, stay with me. But here's what they say. Joshua, whatever you say we need to do, then that's what we're going to do. You're our leader. We're going to stand behind you. And it's going to be a life of surrender. Can I just say this? Let's let Joshua be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ for just a minute. Whatever God says for us to do, we ought to live a life of surrender. We ought to say, God, it's not my will, but thine be done. God, whatever it is, here I am, send me. You know, a lot of times we'll say, yes, preacher, I'll do whatever, but. I'll do whatever, but. There's no buts that goes with that when it comes to serving God tonight, church. They was challenged by Joshua, and then they committed. And here's what they committed to. They committed to a life of surrender. I got saved July 20th, 1994. It's a great day. I surrendered to preach July the 24th, 1996. September the 4th, 1999, I got married. September the 4th, 1999. Miss Leslie and I got married in November of 1999. We knelt in an altar together and we said, Lord, whatever it is that you have for our life, then that's what we're willing to do. God, if you want us to go to the mission field, if you want us to pastor a church, whatever it is, here's our life, God. Everything that we have, it's yours. And can I say something to you? If there's never been that time in your life, boy, you may be saved. You may even be serving God a little bit. But there ought to be that time in your life that you can go back to where you gave everything to the Lord. You've heard me use this example before, and some of you heard Brother Granville preach it the night he preached it here. And many of you know Brother Granville has a good grading business. And back then when he was preaching it, it was actually even a whole lot bigger than what it is now. He's really downsized where he's pastoring now and doing a whole lot more in the ministry. But back then, man, he had several others working for him than even what he's got now. And I'll never forget, he was preaching that night, and he pulled out a ring of keys out of his pocket. And it looked like there was 497 keys. The only person that I ever remember having more keys than that was Miss Eva. And she used to wear them. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. A few of you do, Miss Eva. And she wore them on that. On her wrist, and she lived with her daughter and had a car. And I don't know what all them other keys went to, but anyway, boy, she had a big old ring of keys whenever she'd come in. Boy, I miss her. I'd love to hear her play the piano one more time and sing one more time. But anyway, I thought about Brother Granville that night. He took those keys out, and he threw them in the offering plate. And he said, those are not my keys. Those are God's keys. That's not my equipment. That's God's equipment. He reached down and got its billfold, and he pulled it out, and he threw it in the offering plate. And he said, you know what? That's not my billfold. That's God's billfold. Everything in it, every bit of the money, every credit card, everything in it, that's God's. He said, if I could get my wife and my boys in the offering plate, I'd put them there, because it's not my wife and my boys, it's God. Everything that we have is His. And can I say something to you tonight? Joshua challenges these people. You know what they say? When I look back at what God's done for me, And I see the blessings of God on my life. How can I help but say, God, here's my life. God, whatever it is, I totally, wholeheartedly surrender myself to thee. The people here committed to a life of surrender. But watch this, not only committed to a life of surrender, but look in verse 17. According as we as hearkened unto Moses in all things, watch this, so will we hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. It was a life of surrender, but watch this, it was a life of submission. It was a life of submission. What did they say? So will we hearken unto thee. It's one thing to surrender, it's another thing to submit. It's a one thing to say, God, here's my life. I give it to you. Whatever it is you want me to do, then I'll do it. And then God says, do it. Are you hearing me? Then all of a sudden, Brother Ramsey, we go to backpedaling on that thing. I remember years ago, Leslie and I was with Rock of Ages. And at that time, I was over the returns department at Kaplan School Supply in Louisville. Miss Leslie was working at Hugh Chatham's Hospital. Used to be a hospital, Bro Matt, you'll remember that. Used to be a hospital in the greater Yadkinville areas, in the suburb of the greater Yadkinville area. Hugh Chatham's Memorial Hospital was there. Miss Leslie was over the dietary. Do what? What's Hugh Chatham's? That's Elkin. It's still there, isn't it? It was Hoots Hospital. Brother Bryden was giving me a little bit of look there, and I was thinking, well, maybe he worked there too. But anyway, it was Hoots Hospital in Yadkinville. And Miss Leslie, some don't know this, but she's got a degree. She graduated from UNC in dietary, and she was over the dietary department there. And y'all want to know why I stay so skinny? That's the reason why she won't cook with grease at the house. But anyway, she was over it. And I got up one morning to go to work, and she did. And boy, for about a month, God had really been ringing on my heart to go full-time with Rock of Ages and raising our support. We didn't have it about 25% of our support, 30% of it. God just really ringing in my heart. And here's what we say. Well, Lord, I've surrendered. You know, I'm raising support. But he said, quit and go full-time. Well, that's submission right there, Brother Aaron. And I thought, man, you know, we ain't been married long. We've got to keep the bills paid. It's my place as a husband, be the breadwinner. And we both went in early. We left about 4:30, and I started to work that day. And I got a phone call from the director of human resources before 5 o'clock that morning. And you get a phone call from a director of human resources before 5 o'clock in the morning, you might as well just turn around and go back to the house, Hoss. All right? I said, hello. And she proceeded to tell me that I was no longer needed there, that my position had been cut. And I turned around and cried all the way back home and got back to the house. And I thought, man, what am I going to do now? I didn't want to call Miss Leslie and say, hey, I'm jobless. You know, I'm supposed to be the breadwinner in the house. I had a place down in behind the house. I'd go pray. And I went down there and I started praying. And God said, if you'd just listen to me, it didn't have to be this way. Are you hearing me? Submission. Submission, you know what they said? They said this, so will we hearken unto thee. In other words, they're saying, Joshua, we're just not surrendering, but we're going to be submissive when God says do it. And I want to say something to us tonight, church. Boy, God help us to be submissive. When God speaks to our heart, may we be ready to do what God has for us to do. I wonder how many people has died and went to hell because God wanted us to speak to them. And we say that we're surrendered, but we're not being submissive to His voice. It was a life of surrender. It was a life of submission. Stay with me, verse number 18. The Bible said this, whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Do you know what he says? He says this. It's to be a life of surrender and a life of submission. But they also committed to a life of separation. To a life of separation. Now, I want to say this to you tonight, and I'm not, I promise you, I'm not going to preach all night on this, but I hit it on Sunday night, and I want to say it again. Boy, we need to live a life of separation. This world has got to see a difference in us. They just have to. Me and Rebecca was talking today, I love my mom and daddy. I wouldn't take $1 million for them. Got 2 million, we may talk. No, I'm just picking. I wouldn't take nothing from my mom and daddy. But the older they get, the harder they get on some things. And me and Rebecca was talking today about it, and Leslie and I was up here at the church working, moving some things around, and we was talking about it. And here's what Leslie said. She said, you know, she said, sometimes I wonder if your mom and daddy don't worry about us and Becca and Jeremy changing, because so many people's changing today. And that's one reason they're a little bit harder on us than they used to be. And you know what? I'm glad I got a mom and daddy that's never changed. They've never changed one bit. I thought about this. We was eating breakfast this morning, me and our chief deputy and our lieutenant over civil was eating breakfast this morning after devotions, and man, his name just left me. Greg Castevens, brother, not Jerry, Mike. Mike came up and sat down and was talking to us, and we was talking about different preachers in the area. And in a good way, and he got up and left, and our chief deputy grew up here in Low Gap, and I looked at him, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, when you think about, because we were talking about Brother Joe Atkins, that's Brother Kevin's uncle, and how Mike's helping him some now when he can't preach, and I said, when you think about Joe Atkins, and you think about Bill Spurlin, I've been here for 17 years, and when you think about them too, there's one thing that you got to say, they ain't changed one bit. You may not agree with them all the time, and they may plow it deeper than you like it sometimes, but they never changed. Anytime you see Brother Joe Atkins, he ain't never changed. Now, I thought about some of those older men of God that we would say it this way, and the world maybe be known more. And you think about Brother Sammy Allen. Brother Sammy Allen never changed. He was the same when he went out of here as he was when he started. He never changed, man. I got to think about Brother Stennett Ballou. He never changed. He never changed. I got to thinking about Miss Lisa's dad and mom. They never changed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's ever been a day, church, that this world needs to see a difference in our life, that we need to live a separated life. It's in the day that we live today. I want to die the way I started. Can I just say that again? I want to die the way I started. Now, I'm all for loving people. I'm all for some having compassion, making a difference. But we are living in a society today. Brother Heath talked about this, and I'm right now done. But we're living in a society today that has desensitized us to different things. And you know what? The more you see things, the more, Miss Rachel, you become desensitized to it. When you see different traumatic calls and critical incidents, Brother Lodge and Brother Ramsey, y'all know what I'm talking about. The more you see it, the more it doesn't bother you. And here's the thing. Some of the things that we'll sit and watch on the TV today, 5 years ago, we'd have turned it off and said, there ain't no way we're going to watch that. Why? Because we become desensitized. Is everybody all right tonight? We've become desensitized because the world is shoving it down our throat today. Now, amen, old me, whatever we want to say, we know it's right what I'm saying tonight. We know it's right. I'm going to tell you, man, may God help us to have a heart of compassion making a difference. But God help us to draw a line and say, we're not moving off of that. I'm standing. I'm taking a stand for what's right. This Joshua is there fixing to go in and possess the land. If you're going to have a life of a victorious Christian life, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to have to be a life of commitment. You're going to have to commit to a life of surrender, a life of submission, and to a life of separation. Miss Courtney, will you come start playing softly? To a life of separation. It's just still right. It's still right for the world to see a difference in us. I said this, and I say it again. If I'm just like them, why do they want what I have? if I act just like them. You know what? If some of the people that, man, I'm praying for and I'm hoping in a few weeks comes to our church, and I'll be careful the way I'm saying it because of live feed. But if when I'm around them, if I talk just like they do, if I act just like they do, if I go do the things that they do, why do they want what I have? I don't have nothing different than them. Matter of fact, the only thing that I have that's different than them is one word. It's called hypocrite. Because they're not pretending to live a different lifestyle in front of other people. They are who they are. One said to me today, "You know what I am?" I said, "That's exactly right. And I know I want you to come to church." Let me tell you the reason why. Because I know the Holy Spirit will meet with us. Amen. So God help us as we're studying this victorious Christian life is what we're headed to. God help us to live a committed life to Him. May we commit ourselves to Him. May we commit our ways to His ways, our thoughts to His thoughts, our actions to His actions. May the world see something different in us. You know, I thought about this. I didn't even know about this. I got asked about it today. And when I say I don't watch the news, I don't watch the news. I'm not bragging. I just don't watch the news. You say, why not? Because I like my sanity. I don't watch the news. And one asked this to me today. They said, "Hey, preacher," I said, "what?" And they said, "What do you think about that men's meeting?" And I said, "What men's meeting?" They said, "That big men's meeting that they had. And they had that guy come out and rip his shirt off and had a stripper pole on the stage and put a sword down his throat." And I said, "Sounds like something out of hell to me." They said, "Well, a preacher got up and spoke out against it at this, and they got him off of the stage because they liked the other act better." God help us. That's what is being promoted as church today. That's what's being promoted as godly today. God help us, church. God, hey, we may be moving stuff in vain, but I don't believe we are, because there's still a remnant that's looking for what's real. There's still a remnant that's looking for what's real. And you can be real. And you can stand for what's right and love people. And you don't have to be hateful. You don't have to have bad attitude. You don't have to look down a pharisaical nose at them. Man, you can love them. There is a balance to this thing. There is a balance. I'll never forget Wayne Owenby 20 years ago sitting at Shawnee's in Sevierville, Tennessee, with a ton of preachers, probably 35 or 40 preachers. And the topic was, who is the greatest preacher in America today? And here was the name that was said. They said Alan Barker. And Wayne Owenby said this: the reason he is because half of them didn't even know I was his son. They didn't know who I was. I was just some young preacher that knew everything sitting there. Now he said, here's what he said. He said, the reason he is because he's learned what a balance in the ministry is. You can love people and still stand for what's right. And may God help us to do that in these days.